I can make this thing work.
All right. Now, I'm going to be adding a lot more stuff than what's in this book.
Maybe we're on page 11.
We're on page 11?
Yeah.
In this one?
Yeah, we're a page
in
behind.
The workbook?
We're a page behind you in the workbook.
Oh, you're a page behind me? Okay, well, I'm on page 11. See, when Tony typing back up again, some of the pages weren't exactly right. We're right where it says chapter 3. Is that where we are? On angelos, angels. All right? And let's see if I can figure out where we are. Up to page about... I think we're already up to page about 60... In the 60s. Up to about page 70. So if you read in your Bible in ADH's textbook, I'm going to be putting a lot of stuff down and bringing a lot of stuff to the studies that isn't in here. All right? And but anyway, this is a very good help if you read this book. I have them back here. They're $15 a piece. If you can't afford one, you get one anyway. And we have the workbook that goes with it also. So if you don't have one of them, stick your hands up and Marilyn will get one of them to you. If anyone doesn't have one that wants one of the study books, syllabus. All right. Well, let's start talking about angels, okay? The angels. Angels. What do you know about angels?
Huh?
They're created beings, number one. They have been created.
There's a lot of them.
And there's a whole lot of them, brother. Thank you. There's a lot of angels. Now, there are different names for angels in the Bible. In Psalm 78 and verse 25. Psalm 78 and verse 25. Someone go there. Psalm 28, 78 and verse 25. Have you got that, Brother John? No, not yet. How about you, Brother? 78 and verse 25. Brother Lee?
Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full.
Uh-huh. That's what I want you to read. Men ate angels' food. The word angel there is aber. How many of you ever heard of that term? Anybody here ever heard of that term, aber? Okay, that aber. Aber. This is it right here. Aber. That means angel. It's talking about angels' food, and it means mighty. All right. Now, what about angels' food are they talking about there, Brother Lee? Do you have any idea?
The bread in the wilderness.
The manna in the wilderness. Manna in the wilderness. What is what was manna? What did it look like?
Well, like a coriander seed.
Coriander seed. And what is a common coriander bush that or herb that they put in lots of Mexican and Chinese food?
Cilantro.
So it's cilantro seed. All right? That's what this looked like. And they made all kinds of manna cakes and everything. What does manna mean? It's called manna. It's called angel's food here. What's manna mean?
What is it?
Yeah. It means what is it? They didn't know what it was, so they said, what is it? So they...
I'm
not going to give up today, is she? Yeah, all right. What is it? That's what it's called. Manna means what is it? It's Hebrew. What is it? All right. And what it is, it looks like coriander seed or cilantro seed. That's it. It describes it looking similar to that. All right. Now, we have another word in the Old Testament. It's called malach. Malach. Malach or malach. And that means what? Angel or messenger. Angel or messenger. Now, angels, and then in the New Testament, the word is angelos. And in the book, he's got it as A-G-G-E-L-O-S. All right? That's the Greek. Now, It's spelled like this in Greek, okay? But when you have a repetition of the gamma here in the front, this is a G in Greek, what does it change to, Brother David?
To an end.
It changes to an end. It has an end sound. So that's where we get our word angelos. You say the word, you don't say agalos, you say angelos. And in our English word is directly angel from that word. All right, so now we have angels here. Now, angels are basically bi-natured, are dual-natured. They are spiritual and intellectual. But there's one thing that are different between angels and spirits. All right? Now, we have a spirit. In the Old Testament, it's Ruah, and the New Testament is Pneuma. We got a word pneumatics. We studied a little bit about that here in our prior lessons. Now, spirits do not have form. You cannot see a spirit. Okay? You can't see one. But angels appear to man many times, don't they? And many times also, and what do they look like? When an angel appears to man, what do they look like from the Bible? They look like a man. All right. Now, how about spirits? Do spirits appear to man? Huh? Have spirits ever appeared to man? Huh?
Not that you could see them.
No. But what do they do? What do spirits do? They inhabit animal or human flesh. And where is the first place in the Bible where we have a
snake.
Possession?
The snake.
The Naash. All right? The word snake in Hebrew is Naash. Nahash. All right? Nahash. That sounds, say that. Nahash. I used to have little old kids. I used to teach junior church, and I taught them the same thing that I'm teaching you. And those little guys can learn. I'm going to tell you something. They can say Nahash. Say it now. Nahash. Now that means the deceiving serpent. All right? The deceiving serpent. And where is the first place in the Bible where we find this demon possession? This possession of a spirit? In the snake. All right, in the garden. And who was speaking through him?
Satan,
or else one of his...
Lucifer.
Yeah. Now, he had possessed this Nahash. But evidently, the Nahash, the snake, had voluntarily given his body to be possessed. And we find in the New Testament, we have a place where there are some piglets out there. Some little piggly wigglies. A whole bunch of Wilbers. All right. How many of you know what I'm talking about? One of the Wilbers. All right. You've been out on the farm. I've got a Wilbur out there. But there's a Wilbur in Charlotte's Web also. That's a pig. Well, in the New Testament, there was a great big herd of swine or pigs. And there was that Gadarene demoniac. And he was confronted by Jesus. And the demons were to be cast out of him. And how many demons were in him? Thousands. Thousands of demon spirits. Now, demons are not angels. These spirits are not angels. Okay? Spirits, I know a lot of people don't make any differentiation with this, but there is. Okay? Just take it for now. This is a study of what we call pneumatology. What is pneumatology? The study of what? Spirits. Okay. Spirits and angels are different. Angels have form. Spirits do not. Now, there are ministering spirits and there are ministering angels. I tell you what, when I'm preaching a lot of times, either God's Spirit or spirits help me get my words in order. At times. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had God helping you as He taught? Yeah, He does. Just put yourself in that place. Sometimes He has to. We fall, yes.
Doesn't really differentiate that.
No, it doesn't. But that's why I'm saying I'm showing the difference between spirits and angels. All right. Now, spirits minister to you also. And the Holy Spirit ministers, doesn't He? All right. There's a lot There are so many things that we don't know about in the Bible. How many of you knew that? I try to teach a class here that's very deep. And I try to help you understand the Bible and to unfold it. But there are some things that I just can't tell you. I don't know everything because nobody knows everything. Brother Bill, where are you? Brother Bill, he asked me something one day and I said, I don't know. And he says, and he just looked dumbfounded. He says, you've let me down. I said, I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. Sometimes we don't know. I taught 4 hours on three verses in 1 John. And I remember Brother Wally and said it only took John a few minutes to write down these three verses and took you 4 hours. But what are we going to be studying forever? That we're going to be, the Word of God is, that we have is going to be unfolded to us forever and ever. I mean, we are just barely touching the top of it right now. Well, let's go on and look at some things. Many times in the Old Testament, when it talks about the angel of the Lord, what does it mean? What does it mean?
Jesus.
It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jehovah. The angel of Jehovah is Jehovah Himself. Jehovah did His own messengering sometimes. And sometimes He did send angels. Alright? Now, in Genesis 16, 7 and 9, and Genesis 19, 1 and 15, Genesis 21, 17, Genesis 22, verse 11. Now, this is on tape also. This is one you might want to get this tape or listen to it off the deal. Genesis 22, verse 15, Genesis 31, verse 11, 48, verse 16, Exodus 3 and 2, Numbers 22, 23, verse 25, verse 27, and then 2 Chronicles 32, verse 21, Job 4, 18, Psalm 78, 49, and 91, 11, and 103, verse 20, and 104, verse 4, and 148, and verse 2. These are some of the places. There are hundreds of cross-references of the Bible talking about these Malach, our angels of the Lord. Many times it's talking about Jehovah Himself coming and visiting mankind. But many times also God uses angels. Now let's go back. We're going to go back and look at these verses. Okay? And I just threw them out there for you for now. Now we have the word angelos in number 2. We have spiritual and intellectual under A and B in number 1 in your workbook. Number 2 in your workbook. From what Greek and Hebrew words is the word angel derived? All right, we threw an extra one in there. What was that? What's the extra one? Abir. All right, I put it up here. The extra word that they don't have in the book is abir. Then we have the word malach. And then we have the Greek word angelos. All right, the Greek word is angelos, and the two Hebrew words is malach and abir. Abir means mighty. And of course, the word malach means messenger. And then it says in number 3, what two words best describe the duties of angels? A.
Messenger.
B.
They also have a guardian.
Well, their guardians are, and that's messengers. But, well, I think you ought to put it underneath where we talk about guardians, servants. Number B is servant and guardians. Okay? And then in number 4, what office in the church are angels compared to? Diaconia is a Greek word. Diaconia. What does diaconia mean? It means dust kicker. Someone that's serving. Someone stirring up a little dust. Good dust, though, not bad. I know some churches, the deacons, they'd like to take out on shoot them in a firing squad and just everybody take turn shooting them. And then some of them want to hang them. Some of them want to skin them alive or whatever. But we've got good deacons in this church. We've got a few of them here, I think. Brother Lee is one of them. How many of you are you deacons? Brother Lee? Oh. Brother Norm and Brother Lee, we've got two deacons in here. We won't shoot these because they're very valuable. All right, some people, the deacons stir up trouble. Sister Andino, you've heard of those kind, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm an ordained deacon, but not of this church.
All right, you're an ordained deacon also. Deacon means a servant also. Brother Noah.
Yeah, on number one, two natures of the angel, the spirit, and what was the other one?
Spirit and intellectual. All right. Now, they do take form, so put down there, see, they do take form like man. All right? Now, number five, we're going on, and then we're going to go back and study a lot of these verses from the Bible, because this is very important. Number five, give scriptures that prove angels were not in the beginning, and that is, created by God. They were not. They are not eternal beings with God, but they were created by God. Hebrews 1 and 7. Hebrews 1 and 7. And Colossians 1:16. Hebrews 1 and 7, Colossians 1:16. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. And Job 38 and verse 4 through 7. We're going to look at all of these verses. These are verses that go along with this. Hebrews 1 and 7. Who's got that one? Brother John?
And the angel, and of the angels, he says, who makes an angel spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire.
All right, who makes his angels? What's the word makes? What do you think other words you could use for that?
Created.
He created the angels. That's talking about God. God created angels. And now in Colossians 1 and 16. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Have you got that one, young lady?
For by him were all things created. All things.
All things are created. This is by Jesus Christ it's talking about, isn't it? Can you read on?
That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
All right, by him, for him, and through him is what it says in Greek. Thank you very much. All things that were created. Now we have all kinds of forces in on the earth, don't we? Epitaskes is what it says, upon the earth. Upon the earth, there are many, many dominions, aren't there? We have a whole lot of dominions at war at this time, don't we? And behind each dominion that is at war, is there a spiritual dominion behind those dominions? We're going to look at them in the book of Daniel and also in the book of Jude. We're going to cover several places. Ezekiel 28. Let's go there. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. We're going to talk about this. We're going to go back in the book of Genesis also. We're going to study angels. We're going to give you a lot about angels. All right. Okay. 28 and verse, starting with verse 12. 28 and verse 12. Now we have a duel prophecy. A duel revelation here. What's a duel mean?
Well, one for the one that you can see and the one that it really means.
Yes. Now, there was the king of Tyre, by the way. And we could go in and we could touch the prophecy against the king of Tyre and the city of Tyre. And it happened so beautifully in history past. And I have done this many times over the years. I wish Fernando and Tony were here. They heard me preach about this 30 years ago. We talked about the complete destruction of the city of Tyre when Alexander the Great went before them and wiped that place off, and God prophesied they would have him down to the crossing of the T and the dotting of the I, exactly what was going to happen to the king of Tyre. But the king of Tyre was also a type or a parable of what?
Lucifer.
All right. Because many things that pertained to the king of Tyre in these verses do not really pertain to the king of Tyre, do they? We're going to find out. Verse number 12. Son of man, take up the lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus saith Jehovah Elohim. All right, our Jehovah Adonai. You had the seal of perfection upon you. Who was Adonai, by the way? Jehovah Adonai. What's Adonai mean? That's a Hebrew word.
King of kings and Lord of
it Lord. Means King of kings and Lord of lords. Who is the real king?
Jesus
is the real king. You will find out, read the book of Revelation. Go back over here and you find out who the real king is. Right here, the real king. The return of Christ in glory. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. If you don't have one of these books, or not books, but charts, we'll get one of them to you. I've got some little charts. We'll hand them out. I think I'll get some up here next week at the beginning of the class so you can get them. All right. You have the seal of perfection. Does God, when God creates, does He create chaos?
No.
What does He create?
Perfection.
Perfection. Perfect order. Cosmos. Cosmos means what? Heard a preacher one time.
The world system.
Cosmos
universe,
means order.
Universe.
It means order. But cosmos also, for God so loved the world in John 3:16. It's talking about the whole created order. But the word cosmos, the word cosmetics comes from it, doesn't it? When a woman uses cosmetics, she's putting her face in order.
It doesn't sound so pretty when you say it like that.
And Brother Madden said one time, he said, it's all right for women to wear cosmetics. He said, an old barn even looks better when you paint it. I didn't say that. No, he did. Remember that?
Brother McGee says some women need all the help they can get.
Cosmos means order. God did not create chaos.
Oh, well,
He created order. All right? So when women put their faces in order, put a little cosmetics on, they just put themselves into order. Yes, brother.
What was it again? Put it on? What was the verbiage of it?
It means order.
Okay. Put something on, though.
Well, cosmetics.
Okay.
It comes from the Greek word cosmos.
Okay.
All right? It said that you were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. In other words, Satan is not that little old devil with a pitchfork looking ugly with a terrible grimace. When we see Satan one of these days thrown in the lake of fire, he's going to be beautiful. Because God created him beautiful. He became wicked. We're going to see that. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. All right? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, was the king of Tyre ever in Eden?
No.
Who was in Eden?
Lucifer.
Can you prove that to me?
Yeah.
He entered the snake.
Yes, he entered the snake, but he was there before that, wasn't he? He was there before that even. All right? He was there.
All that chaos from
yes.
Genesis 2.
Yeah, verse 2. All right. And it says in the beginning, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth Hashemayim, Weth Haaretz. In beginnings created God. The word created means brought to it means finished. You know, I used to create guitars a long time ago. All the Hee-Haw and the Buck Owens Ranch, Merle Haggard's guitars, I worked on all those a long time ago. It was 30-something years ago. I was the luthier, is what they call them. I was the guy that built guitars and repaired guitars. And the word created here does not mean start to create. It means finished. In the book of Genesis, where it talks about they had built the Tower of Babel, the word means they had finished building the Tower of Babel. It was completed. And then God destroyed it. All right? And He confused the earth. He shook it down with earthquakes because He divided the earth at the same period of time. Nobody built big cities after that for a while. He told them not to build big cities, and they did it, and God shook them down. Let's go on a little further. On the day that you were created, you were perfect. And verse 13 says, and you were in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. Some Bible theologians and scholars say that they believe that... how many of you have a diamond today? You got diamonds on you someplace? A ring or earrings or something? Many people think that originally the earth was covered with diamonds and rubies and things. Just beautiful. Decorated. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby and the topaz and the diamond, the beryl and the onyx and the jasper and the lapis and the lazuli and the turquoise and the emerald and the gold of your workmanship and of your settings and your sockets is talking about how beautiful he was and how beautiful the creation of God was, this earth. The earth was beautiful.
The holy city is going to see some of this.
The holy city of God, New Jerusalem, is going to be decorated with all these things. What kind of gates are we going to have in New Jerusalem?
Gates of pearls.
Pearls, one piece pearls, the gates of pearl. What kind of streets? Streets of gold. What is the throne of God going to be sitting on? One great big, it calls the sea, but it really doesn't mean. It means the foundation's throne. A great big diamond. And in diamonds you see beauty, and the best diamonds have fire in them, don't they? And they reflect. Well, that's what the throne of God is going to be reflecting, His glory. The Shekinah glory of God. On the day that you were created, they were prepared, set apart. And you were an anointed cherub who covers. An anointed. What means that? Does that mean? Look at that word now, anointed. Is that word used anyplace else in the Bible for any other thing? Anointed. King David was anointed. King Saul was anointed. Samuel was anointed. Who is called the anointed one?
Lucifer here.
Well, who else is called the anointed one? Jesus, HaMashiach, the Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, in the book of Revelation, we look forward, and who is the false Messiah? In the book, the Antichrist, the Anointed One of Lucifer. Every time God does something, Satan imitates it, doesn't he? He's a great imitator, a great mimicker. You were anointed. You were the anointed one. You were set apart. You were set apart for a very special work. In our book, we see here, and down in number 6, it says, it seems that angels were God's first creation. And number 7, it says, there are three orders or groups of angels. Spirit, mind, and material. Alright? Spirit, mind, and material. And the last one, number C, is material. Now, material, who was over the material reign of God? Lucifer. Mm-hmm. All right. You get it all together. Brother Bill, are you getting any of this?
You know, yeah, I am. I have reading on this, and, you know, like a revelation comes to me.
I saw you in deep thought.
I'm on my third time through that Bible.
Third time through the book. Well, I'm going to tell you something you're going to learn every time. You're going to learn something every time.
The other day that blew me away.
You were the anointed cherub who covers. John 3:16 says what? God. So, oh boy, you've got it up here. I didn't even get to look at it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God so loved what? The created order. The order. That order became chaos. Genesis 1 and 2 says, and the earth, we are it, and the earth, she became formless and void. And Spirit God worried over her, and He put her back in order. And then He put mankind. Now, who was over the creation of God originally? Satan was. Lucifer, actually. He wasn't Satan at that time. Lucifer means what?
Light.
Light carrier. Alright? Let's go on here. And you were anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. I put you there. He was the administrator of God's material kingdom. Lucifer was. And you were in the holy mountain of God. What does the word mountain mean when it talks about it in the Bible many times? It uses it as a figure of speech. What does the word mountain mean? Mountain means government. Many of the ancient kingdoms and castles were what? On mountaintops. Okay, just remember that, because it was hard to, they could see everybody coming for a long time, and every head of the government was on a mountaintop. Okay, on a mountaintop. That's where the castles were built, on mountaintops to defend themselves. You're in the holy government of God, so to speak. All right, and you walked in the midst of the stones of fire. What's it talking about? What stone of fire is he talking about? The very throne of God, reflecting that the Lucifer must have walked into the throne room of God. Just think about it. Think about the beauty of that room. Think about a diamond so big it looked like a sea of glass. And reflecting the beauty and the order and the power of God. Think about that. Think about the smells.
The book of Enoch really describes.
Yeah, the book of Enoch describes this. Now we're going to get into a bunch of this. Brought the book of Enoch today. See, we're getting there. Maybe. The book of Enoch talks about the angels and the order, and also the companion Bible. How many of you ever heard of the companion Bible? It's also called Bullinger's Bible. We're going to quote from this a little bit in a little while, or next week, one or the other. I don't know how far I'm going to get. I brought all my stuff. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Think about the sounds. Think about the beauty. Think about the light was emanating from whom? God. The Shekinah glory of God. They won't need any moon or sun here, will they? Why? Because God's light will shine. Well, we talked the other day, and by the way, on Wednesday night, we've been covering theology also, haven't we? The person of God. And my Sunday morning and my Wednesday night class have been just kind of just going right together, just fitting together like that. The mountain of God in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Why was unrighteousness found in Lucifer?
The word pride.
Well, pride. But there's something else there. With all of God's order that He made, could God ever be worshipped and adored in eternity past, during time and space that we live in, our eternity future, if His creation did not have a volition? Yeah. Now this really messes up Calvin's voice. Doesn't it? Could God ever receive glory from robots?
Calvin, with the logic that he has toward man, would have to say that God chose Lucifer to sin as well.
Yeah. He was created perfect, wasn't he?
Right. But
that's right.
It doesn't.
How was man created in the garden? Without sin.
Without sin. Yeah.
God breathed in him His very blood and made him eternal, made him sovereign over his own existence and future, and give him eternal life. And the only way that he could redeem back to God was by that same blood, but as the atoning Messiah. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created until unrighteousness was found in you, in verse 15. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. There I have cast you down as profane. Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 17 through 20. Go there. Luke 10, 17 through 20. Therefore I cast you as profane from the mountain, from the what of God? From the, as an administrator in the government of God. Who took Lucifer's place on earth? Who took Lucifer's place on earth? Ha-Adam.
Adam.
The Adam. The man. The mankind. And God made him in his image. Was Lucifer pretty?
Yes.
He was beautiful. Did man look like a gorilla? I think Adam was one of the most handsome men that ever lived. And Eve was the prettiest woman. Didn't look like some guy walking on his knuckles. I've seen people like that. Haven't you? I cast you from as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and corrupted by your wisdom and your splendor, and I cast you down to the ground. What ground is he talking about? Haaretz there. What's Haaretz in the brother? Yes, the earth. The earth. I cast you down to the earth, to the Haaretz, to the earth. And I put you before the kings and angels, that they may see you. Part of that last part starts to begin with to the king of Tyre. He made a gift, young lady.
Is this a one-time deal? Or can this still happen?
This happened to the king of Tyre, and it happened to Lucifer. And he will throw him down, yes. Now, Lucifer's trail, we're going to look at it. Isaiah 14, we studied Ezekiel 28, we're going to go to Isaiah 2. We're not finished with him. Look at this blue trail right here. All the way through time, then he goes down in the bottomless pit, and then in the end he goes into the lake of fire. That's Satan's trail. Okay?
The other angels, I know he took.
Oh, yes. We're still working on them.
But can it happen again?
No. I don't think there's ever going to be another angel fall. They made their decisions back then when they lined up their battle zones and lines. And through the time that we live in today, we see the warfare of these demons, spirits, and demon angels, and God. All the way through time. And we are living in that time. Right here is a marked-off piece of eternity called time. In Greek, it's chronos. We got our word chronograph, chronology, and all that. This is where we live. And we live right here. Now look how much time has gone through mankind's existence on this earth. Now, how long did Satan worship God and stay in the presence of God? Do you have any idea?
It's before time.
It's before time. But how long was it? Our time is measured eternity. That's all it is. This is measured eternity. It's brief. Yeah. But it's measured. How long?
We don't know.
We don't know that. It could have been a million years. It could have been a billion years. How long did it exist like that? Boy, you got me. What?
According to the scientists, the Earth is 50 billion years old.
I don't put much stock in them. But
they're just guessing.
All they are is guesstimating. But how long ago this was? The Earth existed in eternity past. How long did Satan serve God before he rebelled? Yes.
We don't know that answer, but we do know it between the first and second age, don't we?
Well, it was between. We have eternity past, and then we have man being put, and Satan sinned. He became Satan. Lucifer sinned that he became Satan. Satan means one who opposes. Lucifer means light bearer, and he was the light bearer. But then God put Adam, Adam, on the earth to take Satan's place. Why do you think Satan is so jealous of you? Because you took his job.
And he wants to destroy man.
He wants to destroy man. The whole book of Job is about what? That's the most ancient book in the Bible, the oldest book in the Bible. What is the book of Job about?
Why do the righteous suffer?
Why do the righteous suffer? But it shows Lucifer when he became Satan and his evil spirits and his evil angels working against us. He worked against Job a long time ago. Now let's go on. Isaiah 14 now. Isaiah 14. 12 through 15. Look at that. Now, we've talked about these verses before, haven't we? But now we're digging around in them. We're thrashing around through them. Isaiah 14. Now, it's talking, here we have another dual prophecy, don't we? Dual prophecy. Dual. What does dual mean? Double. A double prophecy. Yes.
I know I promised not to ask a question about this, but
okay, Bill, you're fine. I got to cut you off. No, go ahead, brother.
I'm not going to make it.
Go ahead.
You got me thinking.
Yeah.
See if I can frame this right. There's three sects of angels, mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
Just like
three orders of angels,
three
yes.
Three orders. Mm-hmm. We are three orders.
That's right. We're triune. Everything, God makes everything in His image, doesn't He, in all reality.
And each sect of angels has a different job with us.
That's
Lucifer,
right.
Who is trying to get us to
Lucifer was over the material creation.
Michael, who helps us fight against
us. Okay, him. Now we have man over the material creation of God, and we have angels helping us. All right. Did that jar you? Man is over the physical creation of God and angels are helping us because we are God's administrator of His material kingdom on this earth. What are we doing with it?
And each angel has a different job within us.
That's right.
Michael, who helps us fight Satan. Gabriel, yeah. Who brings the spirit and the thought from God.
Gabriel brings in the intellectual realm. He is a messenger of intellect. All right? Well, let's go on. We're still studying Lucifer. Now, you learn anything today? All right. How you have fallen from heaven. Did the king of Babylon fall from heaven? No. He didn't fall from heaven. But God was using him, and he was going to correct his nation Israel with it, the king of Babylon, and he was going to do the same thing with the king of Tyre. He was going to use them. But the king of Babylon, he fixed his little wagon, didn't he? What was his name?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah. All right. And God was going to use Nebuchadnezzar, and he did use Nebuchadnezzar, but he got all excited one time. Just think about this. Nebuchadnezzar, you can go back in the book of Daniel and study all of this. Nebuchadnezzar got real puffed up one time, and he built a beautiful garden. You ever heard of the ancient wonder of the world called the Hanging Gardens of Babylon? They were beautiful. We've got descriptions in history of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and they were absolutely beautiful. That city was something else. And he said, "Look how great I am! Look how great I am!" He's a type of Satan now, a type of Lucifer. Look how great I am! And what did God do to him? He scrambled his gourd. He scrambled his brains, is what he did.
He might have been the first lawnmower.
Yeah. He made a lawnmower out of him, didn't he? He went out there and ate grass like the cows in the field. And walked around out there and wallowed around in the dirt. He just became a bovine. Just like a cow.
Maybe.
Just walking around.
Maybe he was the first gorilla. Evolutionary gorilla.
He went backwards, didn't he? He did. He stayed that way for a while, too, didn't he?
7 years.
7 years. Seven's the number of what in the Bible?
Perfect.
Perfection. All right. For 7 years, he walked. He crawled around on his all fours, acting like a dumb beast. And he was the king of Babylon. Lucifer's going to eat dirt one of these days. That's the type of what God was going to do to Lucifer.
I thought he was going to burn.
He will. How ye have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, O Lucifer, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. What's the word earth there? Haaretz, the earth. And the earth she became formless and void. You have been cut down to earth. You have been weak. You who have weakened the nations. Weakened the government of God. How many did he take with him? How many spirits and how many angels did Lucifer take with him?
One-third
of them. All right? Weaken the nations. Weaken the government. You have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. Now this is one place you can say where the heaven is. If you go to the northest part of the earth and ascend up into the third heaven, that's the abode of God. That's where it is. Verse 14, I will ascend from the heights of the clouds and I will make myself like the Most High God. Verse 15, Brother Wally. What's it say there?
Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol.
That's right.
To the sides of the pit.
Yeah. To the recesses of the pit. He's saying exactly what's going to happen to him over here. And then over here in the end. He's going to put him in the bottomless pit. And he's going to put him over here in the lake of fire. Forever. Now let's go to Luke 10. Luke number 10.
Ten and what?
Ten and what?
Ten and
something.
Ten and
what, Tim? I wrote it down here someplace.
18.
Ten and 18. Luke 10. I think it's 10, 18.
17.
Okay. 10, 16 through 18 or something like that. All right. Now here we have. We were referring back in 10 and verse 14 to the. Now here, God the Son is cursing all of the cities around the Sea of Galilee, which means the circle. All right. Now, Jesus, where did he perform most of his miracles? Huh? Around the Sea of Galilee. Thank you, brother.
Better be tame.
I hope. Where did Jesus...
Tribe of Naphtali.
All right. Where did Jesus perform most of his miracles? Around the Sea of Galilee. And in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, Dr. Luke is telling us about what happened around this area. He's telling them in verse 13. You can go all the way back up. This all is a curse. Verse number 12, I say unto you, it would be more tolerable in the day of Sodom for that city. He's talking about he had performed all these miracles around the Sea of Galilee, and what did they want to do to Jesus? Half of them. Kill him. Because what was around the Sea of Galilee and all these cities? Every city had something in it. A synagogue. What's a synagogue? The synagogue. All right. Moed in Hebrew. They didn't even know how to say their own Hebrew word. They used synagogue, which is a Greek word. They were using Greek in those days. All right? In these synagogues, which were Hebrew places of worship. All right? Every time he'd get up and speak in a synagogue, the leaders of the synagogue would want to do what to him?
Throw him out.
Run him off. Kill him. Stone him to death. And he said unto you, it would be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. Why? How much revelation did they have in Sodom? They only had the worst preacher in the world. He was also a lawyer.
Lot.
And a judge. Who was he?
Lot.
He wasn't a very good witness, was he? But God condemned Sodom and Gomorrah and he brought them down to hell. Now here they have God the Son walking around doing all these miracles and pointing them to himself. Tell them, you read in my word and so on and so forth. And what did they do? They wanted to molest the angels. And what are they going to do to the Son of God, God's Son?
Kill him.
He gave a parable about them, didn't he? About the landowner that sent his servants down there, and what did they do to the servants? They beat him and killed him. And then he said, I'll send my son, my only son, and what did they do to him? They killed him and said, we're going to take over. Just think about that now. Secondarily, who is over the material realm that we're fighting with right now? Lucifer. Why is he fighting us so hard?
To usurp Christ.
To usurp God's right to this earth. That's what he's doing.
And he hates mankind.
And he hates mankind because man took his place. All right. They said unto him, be more tolerable in Sodom than for city. Verse 13, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Verse 15, O Capernaum. By the way, the word Capernaum, that means beloved home. Kafar and the home. Kafar and the home. Beloved home. They love that city. O Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects me, and the one who directs me rejects the one who sent me. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And what did he say in verse 18? And he said to them, I was watching as Satan fell from heaven like lightning. He saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. How did Satan fall from heaven? Who kicked him out of heaven? God. All right.
One thought. He still shows up in the book of Revelation.
That's right.
His final fall isn't happened yet.
No, it's not. Lucifer is on a... He is on a chain. He is controlled to somewhat. But in the book of Job, what we have? We have... And this is in our own lives today, people. Why do we have the book of Job in the Bible? It's a mirror of Brother Norm and Brother Wally and David and Randall. It's a mirror of our own lives. It tells our stories. What happened to Job? He was blessed of God. And Satan thrashed him, didn't he? He thrashed him, but God didn't let him kill him. He thrashed his life. And we see angels, we see God's angels protecting him. We see the fences that God put around him. And he puts those around every one of our lives. And what are we supposed to be doing in here in the world today as God's children? We are representative of God's kingdom in the world today. Is Satan still alive and well? Is he still fighting it with God? Who's in the battlefield? We are. Brother.
Job is the first book ever written in the Bible?
That's the oldest book, as far as we know, in the Bible, the book of Job. All right, let's go. Well, our time is out. But we're going to go back to Genesis 16 next week. And we're going to start going down through all these. We're going to look at some things. Are you learning something about angels? I guarantee you, I don't care how deep you've gone into it, we're going to learn something in this. We're going to uncover some things. And you know what? There's a whole lot more to learn. If I spent all the time that I needed to do in this, we'd never get through.
Probably won't.
But we, you know, I've studied a lot of... How many of you were in the Bible analysis classes for 144 classes? And then I did three sets of doctrines of the Bible. Every time we learned a little more, every time we went through those classes. Well, I hope we studying the same stories. We're going through this chart so many times. I did 144 classes on this chart. And we just go back through the chart again and look at it from a different angle. Because you know what? The Word of God is so beautiful. And it does not have any... There is no end to that study. We just... And there's a time element to learning. What you tried to learn 3 years ago or 2 years ago, David, just now is beginning to open up.
because there's a time element to learning. You have to get a certain amount of foundation under before you can make one more step. And in your life, as you study God's Word, you just make one step after the other, and they're baby steps, people. They're baby steps. But the Word of God is beautiful, and it is eternal, and it's something that I love teaching. And it will just astound you. You'll see how much God cherishes you as His people. Just study the book of Job. And then look at this chart, how He has dealt with mankind. And as we study angels, we're going to understand a lot more about ourselves and our surroundings. Brother David, there you go. Thank you for your attention.